This week is Parshas Korach. Parshas Korach. Let me start with a beautiful word from Rav Moshe Feinstein, from Dorash Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein makes the following observation at the end. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Hagoyin Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Sefer Dorash Moshe. Rav Moshe makes the following observation at the end of the parasha. We have the laws of Truma and Maisa. Torah very clearly tells us what the Kohanim receive and what the Levim receive. The Kohanim receive Truma. We spent some time this week about Remes, the Tchias HaMesim. The time will come when Aaron will come back to life and we'll give him Truma. And then we learn about the Levim. The Levim also receive, they receive Maaser. And then the Torah tells us that when the Levi receives his Maaser, he also has to show his respect for the Kohen by giving 10% Vahare Mosem Lochem Maaser Min Hamaser. The Levi has to give the Kohen 10% of what he receives as Maaser Rishon. So Rav Moshe makes the following observation. We know in the Gemara tells us that there's a technique that was used in Talmud Chazal in order to prevent one from being chayiv in giving truma min ha-Torah. You're only chayiv to give truma min ha-Torah if you bring the grain from the silo into your home to the front door. If you don't bring this a drasha, the Gemara says, Beisecha. Beisecha means derech bia, it has to come through the front door. If you bring the grain into your home through a back door, or through some other technique, you're not, through the roof, you're not chayiv to give the kohen truma min hatorah. Min hatorah, you're exempt. What? Or if it's not, right, that's even in the fields. In the fields, if you, it's only there, it's not the avoda, what needs to be done is not complete. So you're also a potter. If you're working there, eating it as a snack, you're not, there are many different situations where you don't have to give truma. But even when you come to the ultimate point where the processing is complete, and it's in your home, and you're ready to bake some challah for Shabbos, and you have grain, so min ha-Torah, there's a technique, bring it through the back door, through the roof, and you potter from giving challah min ha-Torah. Of course, the Rabban did not take this lightly, and they required people to give truma at least mid-Rabbanon. And then there's a discussion where people deliberately did this. They deliberately brought in the grain through the back door, through the roof, in order not to be chayiv min ha-Torah. Now why would, and the Gemara discussed that the earlier generations, people would never dare do this. They brought in their grain through the front door, so that should be chayiv in truma min ha-Torah. The later generations, they became lax, and they started, not lax, they just started doing this and bringing it through the back door. And the question is why? Why would people want to do this? So there are different reasons, that there's some very interesting ideas of why people would bedafka do things like this. One example given is, one explanation is because truma, if you don't separate truma, there's a chi of misa bidei shemayim. It's a very, very great sin. And in later generations, people were afraid. They were not zrizim. They were not meticulous as they should be. They were afraid that by accident, they would forget to separate Shuma Kedasu Chedin, and then they would be consuming Tevel by accident, and there would be Nichshol in an Aver where there is a Chi of Misa B'dei Shemayim. It was scary. So as an insurance policy, they, Bedavka, would bring in the grain through the roof, through the side, through the back, in order that they should not be Chayiv in HaTorah. Of course, they never had any intention not to give. Of course they're going to give Shuma to the Kohanim, but they don't want the Chas V'Sholem be Nichshol in eating Tevel, so they use this insurance policy. But in the previous generations, that was not an issue. Because in the previous generations, people were so medactic in mitzvos, it never came to a point where a person would ever forget to give truma. So it represents the skat nu hadaras. Okay, this is what the Gemara discussed. Well, all we want to take out of this is one point, is that when it comes to truma, the Torah made it very easy for a person to be exempt min ha-Torah from giving truma, from giving the gift he is obligated to give to the Kohen and the Levi. Yet, when it comes to the Levi, when the Levi receives his Maaser, he receives Maaser Rishon, which is not even sacred. Maaser Rishon doesn't have any sanctity. He has an obligation to give 10% as Trumas Maaser. So, and there, in this halacha of Moshe, there's no exception. When the Levi receives his Maaser Rishon, Yisrael comes and gives the Levi, here's Maaser Rishon. And Maaser Rishon is not so chomer. There's no Misa B'dei Shemayim for Maaser Rishon. Levi, here's your 10%. Have a nice day. The Levi has now 10% Maaser Rishon. He has an obligation to give 10% of that to the Kohen as Truma. And if he doesn't give it, then this becomes his tevel. It becomes to him, it becomes tevel. There's no way out. There's no trick. There's no subterfuge. There's no kunz to go, I'll go through the roof, go through the basement, I'll do some... There's no way you can exempt yourself from giving your 10%. Now, if we just could add to Rav Moshe, you have to also give 10%. Truma, you only have to give a mashahu. The custom was to give 1/50th, which is very small. But the glavi has to give 10%. That's a significant amount. Maseh min hamaseh. What's the pshat? Why is the Torah so machmir for the Levi relative to the Kohen? So Rav Moshe says something very, very powerful. He says, the Yisrael earns his grain. He sweats, or he labors to produce grain. He goes out to the field in the winter, in the fall, in the heat, to plow, to weed, to plant. He sweats. There's hard labor that is involved in producing grain. And then he has to harvest, he has to hope everything goes okay, the winter, the rain, so on and so forth. Finally, after the end of the season, he has a product. So, and the person can make a mistake and think, It's my effort that has produced. And the Torah basically says, or Moshe says, shocking, the Torah says, that's right. That is right. It's koichi v'oitzem yadi. You worked for it. It's yours. It's yours. You don't have to give the coin. You have to give the coin. What did the coin do? Did the coin lift up a finger to produce this grain? He's getting a handout. He's getting it's an entitlement. It's a subsidy. Well, you don't have an obligation to give it to him. You worked for it, you deserve it. Therefore, because you work for it, you deserve it. You only have to give the Kohen just 1/50th. Even that's the only chumra also. You can give him a mashahu. And if you want, you know what? Don't give anything. Just bring it into the back door. Bring it through the roof. Because the Torah was looking to give a person an excuse not to give, because the Torah, sorry, Moshe says, the Torah has sympathy for the farmer. You work for it, it's yours, you really don't have an obligation. No, if you want to give, it's the goodness of your heart. Give what you want. You want to give more than a mashu, you can give one kernel. You want to take it in the front door, you know what you're doing. The Levi, who gets 10%, didn't lift a finger. He didn't lift a finger. He didn't lift a finger, Levi. You just got, you're sitting home, you're sitting, and all of a sudden, someone deposits in front of your house 10%, Maaser Rishon. Easy come, easy go. You got it for free, you have to give up 10%, a significant amount. You have to give up 10% a significant amount, you have to. There's no excuse, there's no back door, there's no roof, there's no excuse, you must give it. This is how Rav Moshe explains the difference in halacha, why Chilton Kohen Levi. Then Rav Moshe says a very powerful Musar idea. Person has to give tzedakah. How much tzedakah, every person in this century, 21st century, Moshe's 20th century, you give, how much tzedakah do you have to give? Well, do you relate, do you feel that your income is koichi v'oitzem yadi, or do you relate to your income as it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The more spiritual you are, the more a person has a sensitivity towards spirituality, the more he will acknowledge that everything you have is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It may be that you work very hard, long hours. You toil and you don't make very much. But if you are a person who is a spiritual person, that you identify with the Levi. I've worked for it, but I don't consider it to be a product of my labor. I consider it to be a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a gift. It's not mine. It's not mine. Torah says to the Levi, no excuses. No excuses. 10%. Back doors are not going to help you. All the kunsim and tricks are not going to make a difference. But if a person is not on a spiritual high, he feels, listen, you know, the guy next door didn't do anything. I went and I toiled, I labored very hard to bring in a few dollars. It's due to my brilliance, my success, my education. And therefore, why should I go and give away all my money to tzedakah, I can have an excuse. There's a heter, tuition doesn't require. If you want bisman hazeh, there are enough heterim, there are enough excuses out there not to give one dime to tzedakah. Everything in the laws of tzedakah are extremely complex. There are many opinions, and basically, every person today can find an excuse to give zero because of taxes and because of obligations for this and this and this and this and this. You don't have to give anything. No, of course not. Rav Moshe Adrab is telling a person, Adrab, Rav Moshe is writing that a person should feel that everything that you have received in this world,
Kohen is allowed to feel that way. We said before, Yisrael with the Kohen, you're allowed to feel that way.
Not allowed to feel that way. What do you mean feel that way? Who's allowed to feel
Yisrael
that way?
Yisrael owns the farm, owns the field. He said
Yisrael has to still give. He wants its relative. He has to give. That's what all the Torah requires. That's all the Torah requires. The Torah tells the Yisrael, all you have to give is a mashu, and if you want a way out, you have a way out. The Levi, he's just coming to contrast the two. He's not coming to go condone any evil. He just wants to point out, look at the contrast. Bring out the lesson by comparing the way the Torah addresses the Levi and the way the Torah addresses a Yisrael. Look at the difference. A Yisrael gives a small amount. A Yisrael has a way out. A Kohen doesn't. If you're going to take advantage of the situation, that's obviously not, no one's condoning that, to take advantage of the situation. A Yisrael has an obligation to give a 50th. The Rabbanan says, if you're generous, you should give a 40th. And you shouldn't look for tricks. You bring him through the front door. But the Torah yet created legal loopholes. What's the psychology of such a thing?
What's the loophole against giving back, sir?
There is no loophole.
So he's giving 10% anyway to Yisrael.
He's giving 10%. But let's just focus on the truma and the truma. Let's focus on the truma. I'm both contrasting the truma that ends up from the coin. Yisrael has an obligation to give truma, and a Levi has an obligation to give truma. Yisrael has loopholes. A Levi has no loopholes. What's the psychology? The psychology is because Yisrael worked for it. So the Torah says you worked for it, you don't have to give that much. A Levi didn't work for it. So Levi has to understand it's a gift, so you have the easy come, easy go. Now, take that and apply it to yourself. When you are have a bracha and you have parnasa, is it because like the psychology, not to condone anything, but the psychology of the contrast of the coin and the lady of the Yisrael and the lady, then you're going to find yourself in a situation where you're going to be looking for excuse to give less tzedakah. But if you will raise yourself up to a higher spiritual level and identify with the lady and recognize that it's not everything Hashem gave me is a gift, then it will be easy for you to give the tzedakah like the Levi gives 10%. Okay, this is the idea from Rav Moshe. Let's go to another idea. We have here, okay, this is an observation. This is not a full idea, but let's focus on the observation. Korach comes to Moshe and he tells Moshe, what's all this about over here? That kolam kulam kedoshim v'sech mashim amadua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. So how does Moshe respond? Moshe responds, Vayishma Moshe first, Vayipol al panav. By the way, that's the source of Tachnun. This is one of the sources, falls on his face. That would have been a good topic to discuss this week, the Makar for Tachnun. And the pasuk before he says, Vayikalu al Moshe v'yalarad v'yomru aleihem. Okay, Rav Lochem, so let me find the pasuk. Zos asu. Okay, Vayikalu al Moshe v'yalarad v'yomru aleihem Rav Lochem. Ki chol ho'eido kulam gishu sov Hashem adu'at isan al-kal Hashem. Vayish Moshe v'yipol al panav. Okay. By the way, we have a boker, we have a shem as a shalom, we have a shalom, we have a love, we have a shayif, we have a love, and I don't have the exact pasuk. Here it is. Okay, here it is. Connect further on. Usnu vohem ish, vesimu aleim ketores, lefne Hashem, mochar vohoyo ish, ashayif Hashem, hu akadosh, and Moshe concludes, Rav lochem b'nei Levi. Moshe actually used the same words as Korach. Korach said to Moshe, Vayomru aleihem, Rav Lochem. And Moshe responded back exactly the same words, Rav Lochem b'nei Levi. You're telling me Rav Lochem. Moshe says back to Korach, let me tell you, Korach, and all you people over here are coming to challenge me, Rav Lochem, you have enough. What is going on over here? So this is an idea. I saw this somewhere. I don't remember where I saw this. There's a very big difference between a Kohen and a Levi. If you would not know otherwise, if you were a newcomer to Judaism, and you, someone would describe to you what the Kohanim do and what the Levim do, which one would you think is on a higher spiritual level? Kohanim, they bring korbanos, they offer sacrifices, slaughter animals, collect blood, they put the blood on the mizbech, they do physical labor. Now, of course, the physical labor is accompanied with machshava. We have no clue what it meant, the uplifting experience it was to bring a korban. It's totally lost from us. But obviously, but as far as we know, as far as just looking at the Torah from a very black and white point of view, what did the Kohanim do already? They did physical labor. They cut the animal, they slaughtered the animal, they collected the blood, they walk up on the ramp, they poured the blood on the mizbeach, they cut up the animal, they were butchers. Okay, that, of course, that the such thing is, of course, they were teachers, they were Kohanim. But on a very simple black and white point of view, to the naked eye, what did they do? What did the Levim do? Sophisticated stuff. They sang. They played musical instruments. They sang songs. They carried the Aron. The Aron is the Torah. They were the ones who identified, they carried the Aron in the desert. Only the Levim could carry the Aron. Okay, there's a question with the Kohanim, that's a discussion, but generally, the Levim, the Bnei Kohas, they, and Shira, V'ata kisvu lechem es ha-shira hazos. They were very much, they stood guard. They were very much associated with the sanctity and the beauty of the Torah. So if you would not know otherwise, you would say that Levim are on a much higher madrega than the Kohanim. Yet, who gets all the kavod, the honor? The Kohanim, who comes first? Upon whom do we have a mitzvah v'kidashtai? V'chibadutai. A Kohen. You give a Kohen money yafa. You don't give a Levi. A Levi doesn't have any kedima and anything. Levi doesn't have a Levi. There's a Seder, but it's only because of the Kohen the Levi comes second. There is no Kohen. Nispar da chavila. The Levi is nothing. He's just like anyone else. It's only because of the Kohen. He's second fiddle. But without the first fiddle, there's no second fiddle. There's nothing. And also, what is the biggest proof? In the Torah, who wears the clothing, the nice clothing? The big day kahuna, which are called lichavoid ulis sefares, for honor and glory, the Kohanim. As far as we know, the Levim, we have no record of any uniform for the Levim. Obviously, there was some uniform, we just don't know what it was, but the Torah doesn't make mention of any uniform lichavoid ulis sefares. They get the kavod, the Kohanim get the honor, the kavod, and the seferis. The Levim, we could assume, and that's exactly what's happening here in Parshas Korach, are bitter. We're the sophisticated people. We're the ones that carry the Torah, literally. We are. We carry the Torah. The Kohanim are called. They're called. Kohanim is called the teacher. So they are from the naked eye. The Levim are the ones who are the intellectuals. They carry the Torah. They sing the Shira. They play the musical instruments. They bring out the beauty of Torah, of the Beis HaMikdash. They are the honor guards. They are the ones who instill fear. They're the Shomrim. They guard the Mikdash. That brings fear and Yira. They are the ones, the life, the spirit of the Beis HaMikdash. And yet they get no honor. That indeed is the nature. Now, this is not a complete idea. This indeed is the fact. There are, every person has with, the facts are, people who are accomplished great things in this world, we don't live in a perfect world, do not get credit for their good deeds. The mitzias of this world is there are figureheads, there are people who get the honor, the kavod, and the seferis. They have power, they have control. But they are not necessarily the lifeblood of Klal Yisrael. This is the Metzius. The Kohanim, they did the Avoda, but the ones that take care of the Torah, we know the Torah is everything, B'shvil Torah, the world was created, are the Levim. That's a fact. Every single person has within him these two elements. There is, every person is a man of dignity, every person is a king in his own home, people have respect for him. He's a ish mechubot. There's kavod and seferis. But every single living person in this world knows that he's not fully appreciated. Whatever you'll do, he does things for his family, for the world, for his life, his community, for himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he doesn't get the credit he deserves. He is the Levi. He is the Levi. Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Levim, Rav Lechem B'nei Levi. You have to understand, that's how it is. It's true. Everything that you're saying is true. There's Kohanim and there are Levim. And the Levim, you're right. The Levim, you are more sophisticated. You have the Koyach HaTorah. But the pleasure, you have to take delight and take pleasure in being satisfied with what you have. If you're going to demand also the kavod and the teferes, the world's not, you can't exist. There is the two avenues. There's the kavod of teferes, and then there is the levim. There's the levim which have the real thing. If you have the real thing, you don't need the kavod and the teferes. And again, every person has within him these two. In the big picture of Klal Yisrael, there's Kayim Levim. But every person has also, he has accomplishments of the real thing. That doesn't need the Kavod and the Seferis. There are times where a person also is deserving of Kavod and Seferis. But a person always has to hear the message of this week's Parsha of Moshe Rabbeinu. If you have the real thing, you have real quality, Rav Lochem B'nei Levi. Be happy with it. Don't try to break out more and more. If you're going to break it out one more, you're going to swallow yourself up. It's going to lead to a terrible churban. So let's go to another idea. We're branching off on this idea. At the end of the parasha, we have a very interesting siman. There are 95 psukim at the end of this parasha. Now, I don't know who wrote the simanim, but at the end of every parasha, it tells you the number of psukim. It's Sadi Hey Psukim. And then it says something very interesting. Doniel Siman. Daniel Simon. It's very rare. At the end of a parasha, it tells you Gematrios. Here is an exception. Okay, sometimes it does say, I'm sorry, Simon Yimuel. Okay, you have to look. Every parasha you go, you have to go. What is Daniel? Daniel is the Gematria of 95. What does Daniel have to do with this week's parasha? So I saw. So, yeah, Daniel in 95. Daniel is Gemat 95. So, what is the connection between Daniel and Parshas Korach? Daniel, from all of the Ishaya Tanakh, is the one that was the most associated with the coming of the Ketz Hayamid, the Iksud Mashiach. In Sefer Daniel is Merumas Yemos HaMashiach. Daniel interpreted the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. He saw the dreams. In Sefer Daniel lies the mysteries of Yemos HaMashiach, the coming of Mashiach. And in fact, that's why there is no Targum on Sefer Daniel, because if there would be Targum on Sefer Daniel, it would reveal the Yemos HaMashiach. The message is, the Sefer of the Parshas Korach, in Parshas Korach, really lies the Nisoyon of Ikvasa the Mashiach. When the Parsha begins, Vayikumu Lifnei Moshe, when the Adas Korach stood up to Moshe, there's an interesting Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, the Komu Bechutzpah. The essence of the rebellion of Korach and his followers was chutzpah. Chazal said, what's going to be, what is the sign of Yemos HaMashiach? Chutzpah Yaske. The proliferation of chutzpah. The what's happening here is a pattern, is in this, and Parash Korach is the most, from all of the Parash Yosef, Chumash is the most nogea applicable to us, because we are clearly living in Ikvasa de Mashiach, and Ikvasa de Mashiach, we have all of the signs of Ikvasa de Mashiach, and this Parash brings out the Maisa of a similar bottom. I'll give you a couple of examples. First of all, we have Ki Ni'atsu Hashem. When Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe that I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael, Hashem used the word Kini'atsu. What was the word? Remember the pasuk? Hashem tells Moshe to stand back. I'm going to destroy them because these people. Let me see if I could find it. Okay, the words are Es Hashem. I don't have the exact pasuk, but we'll heal Kriya Satara. We'll come to the words Es Hashem. Rabbi Akiva Darshan, every time it says the word Es, comes to be Marbe something. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, Es Lerabois Talmidei Chachamim. And that was taken as a quote that every time in the Torah you have the word Es Hashem, Es comes to be Marbe Talmidei Chachamim. What was the challenge of Korach? Was one example of one of the problems of Iksa the Mashiach, the challenge of Talmidei Chacham. My Ahani Le Rabbanan. What benefit do Rabban have? Another sign of the study of this parasha guides us to Iksa Mashiach. Give you another example. In this generation, there probably was never a time in the history of the world where women, Nashim, played such a central role. It's a Metzias today. Today women are equal to men. The role that women play in Klal Yisrael has never been more important and never been more pronounced in the entire history. The whole story of Korach, all if you look study the Midrashim, revolves around women. Why did Korach? There's an incredible. You have to see it inside an incredible Or HaChaim. It's awesome. What he writes about who's the one that inspired Korach to rebel against Moshe? Korach's wife. She was behind all the why. Why was Korach's wife? And there's a whole story behind it. What was the story behind it? Korach's wife was this ostentatious woman. She dressed with tons of jewelry and makeup. The Chizal, the Or HaChaim, describes how what she looked like. And she missed the mark Tzipora. There was this ongoing fight, feud, friction between Tzipora, Moshe's wife, and Eshes Korach. Tzipora's wife had nothing. She dressed in rags. And Eshes Korach was this glamorous woman with jewelry, clothing, and she would always mock Tzipora. Tzipora, what did your husband get for you today? What should literally buy you for your birthday present? And so on and so forth. And she lived off this pride. Then what happened was, this is the Or HaChaim says, Moshe Rabbeinu, the shatter the first luchos, he makes the second luchos. Hashem says to Moshe, you're a poor man, loy chamor echon mehem nasasiv, loy haros yasachot mehem, Moshe psolcha. You know what? The luchos, the psoilas, and I when I chiseled out the aseres adibros, it produced some. You can keep the dust. This was the most. This was sapphire, the most expensive commodity in the world. Moshe took this sapphire, this, and he brought it to a jeweler, and he told him to make jewelry for my wife from the sapphire. And he gave this. Do you know this medrash? Or HaChaim quotes this. He gave the psolicha, the psoilas of the aseres hadibros, the most expensive material, was fashioned into custom-made jewelry for Moshe Rabbeinu's wife. Tzipora went in the street with these jewels from sapphire, and who gave a look at her? Who do you think saw her? Eshes Korach. And she went through the roof. This is what set her off. And this was set her off and says, this I can't tolerate. I cannot tolerate that Moshe Rabbeinu should be the leader and his wife should have these jewels. And that is what... What? I don't know, set her off. So she instigated Korach. She did not let him. She did not let him off. So the whole Maisa came through. Who was the one that was the famous person that was saved from the entire event? On Ben Pelas. On Ben Pelas, well, how was he saved? His wife. His wife said to him, What do you have to gain? So what if she took off her shetel, her head covering? She exposed herself in front of the door. They were a finer Chassidus Yidden. They came to the door and they saw a woman, didn't have her head covered. They said, let's go, we'll wait. They kept on waiting, nothing happened. So they went out to battle Moshe without On Ben Pelas. So there's such an emphasis, if you go to the parashas over here on Noshim, this is a pattern for Chutz Beyaske Maisa of Asim Laban. In this entire event here, refers to there are hidden messages for Imos HaMashiach. Chutzpah Yaskeh, the challenging of Talmidei Chachamim, and really that's the theme you get today. Kol ha'om kulam kedoshim, v'sechem Hashem, ma'adua tisnasu, equal opportunity. We live today in a world of religion, equal opportunity, everyone is the same, there's no difference. Okay, let's go to another idea. Later in the parasha, I saw this idea in the Sefer Vayomer Eliyahu by Rav Eliyahu. Atya, right? His name is right. Last week, Atya. He makes the following observation. It's a very interesting observation. We have here in this week's parasha two rebellions. First, they rebel Moshe, people Korach and his followers are going to rebel against Moshe, and later, after Korach and his 250 men and Dothan and Avirim are all killed, then the whole Klal Yisrael rebels, and they all complain, "Atem hamitem am Hashem." Frightening pasuk. They all come to Moshe. After the earth swallows up the evildoers, Vayilonu kol adas meyisrael mimachras al Moshe v'al Aaron lemar atem hamitem esam Hashem. Okay? So what happens? Hashem says to Moshe, Heirom mitocha eda, I'm going to destroy them. A magefa begins. 14,000 people die. Moshe tells Aaron to stop the magefa by bringing Ketores into the camp, and the Ketores stops the magefa. Rashi tells us this is a secret that the Malachim told Moshe Rabbeinu, the Satan told Moshe Rabbeinu and the Shemaim, that if you offer Ketores, the Ketores will stop the magefa. So Rav Atiyah makes the following observation. In the first rebellion, when Korach and his 250 people come to the Pesach, Ohel Moed, Moshe is mispala. Before Moshe, anything happens, the first thing that happens is, they come forward, and Moshe says, Kel Elokei Haruchos L'chol Basar, Ho'ish Echad Yecheteh, V'al Kol Ho'eda Yiktsoif, let me find the Pasuk. Okay, they all rise up, by Olam Yisaviv, Vayegu kolam. So where is the tefillah? The tefillah is in the beginning. After they all come to rebel against Moshe. Vayidaber. Okay, so Heibadlu, Hashem says to Moshe, Heibadlu mitoch eidu hazos v'chalasam kiraga. Okay, Vayiplu aprim v'yamu. Okay, here's the pasuk of base. So let's review what happens. The entire assembly, they come. They Korach and his followers, they come in the present entire Klal Yisrael. So how does Hashem respond? Hashem says, "Vaydaber Hashem Moshe v'Aaron lemar." Okay, don't worry, Moshe. I'm going to destroy them. Hibadlu, separate yourselves from these people. Mitoich leid hazos. Don't worry. Va'achale oisam kiraga. I will destroy them in a moment. Moshe says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, "Not so fast. Not so fast." Moshe is mispalel. Moshe and Aaron, vayiplu al peneihem. Moshe and Aaron fall tachmon. Vayoymu, Ribbono Shel Olam, you have to kill them. You don't have to kill them. We can figure out a solution. Kel, he begins to daven. He davens a Shemoneh Esrei. Kel, Elokei haruchos l'chol basar. You are the God of spirits for flesh. Ha'ish echad yecheteh. V'al kol o'eda tiktsaif. You can destroy the whole Klal Yisrael because of one Meshugana. One chal, one karach. Does make trouble? You can destroy the whole Klal Yisrael. Moshe's in spellal. So Hashem listens to his prayer. Hashem listens. Hashem says, you're right, okay, there's no magefa. Moshe, you take care of them. You only want to take care of the sinners, Korach, Dothan, Aviram, Oin ben Peles, and the 250 people. Okay, we're not going to go destroy the entire Eda. Excellent. Moshe's up. Next, they're wiped out, the earth swallows them up, and they're gone. Next problem. Next item on the agenda. Vayilaynu kol adas Yisrael mimachras al Moshe v'al Aaron lemar aten hamitem am Hashem. Moshe, you're responsible for the death of these 250. These were very big people. These were leaders. These were very great people. The Klal Yisrael was very disturbed that these 250 people would be killed. What? From most of them from moving. The majority, it says, not all of them. Most of them. Most of them from moving. So what happened? So Moshe is silent. You would expect Moshe to follow the pattern that he has followed in the past. What was the pattern in the past? That when there's a tzara, it looks like the eagle. When they worship the eagle, what did Moshe? It was Spalel, Ribbono Shel Olam, Zachor, the Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and just in the Meraglim, Moshe was Mispalel. And now here also, in the Meraglim, he was Mispalel. He invoked the Yugil and Sarachim in the pattern after the Meraglim. And this week's parasha, also he was Mispalel, but here there's no tefillah. Right away, the first thing Hashem, Hiromu, Hashem says to Moshe, lift yourself up, Mitoich Oed Hazos. Hashem used a different word and said the word Hibadlu, the word Hiromu. V'achalo Esom Kiraga. And Moshe, that's it. No prayer. And right away, the Magefa begins, and Moshe goes and he tells Aaron, go take the Ketores and try to minimize the damage. Why wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu mispala? So Rav Atiyah says an incredible yisoid, very powerful yisoid in the Koyach HaTzvila. This shook me up, this idea. And you have to work backwards and now look at every single time Moshe is mispala and see if this really, if this pattern fits. When one person or when a group of people do an Aveira and the Klal Yisrael gets swept up, but they're not the instigators. They're just bystanders. They may be indifferent. They may be responsible because they did not make a macha. They're guilty. Korach sinned. If Korach was able to sin, to pull this off, that means the moral climate of society was corrupt. The person, if the moral climate of society was in a high madrega, Korach wouldn't have the chutzpah to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu. So obviously there was a problem in the entire Klal Yisrael. If Korach was able to rebel, and the Klal Yisrael criticized the Chazal, why didn't they protest? Why were they indifferent to Korach and his 250 men? But they, when Klal Yisrael was not the one who brought about the problem. The one who brought about the problem was one man, as Moshe said, "Ho'ish echad yechetev yal kol eda yiksof." One man is responsible. He has a following, 250 people, dozen nevi'im, and in palace. Okay, and everyone else, they're partially guilty. They're silent, indifferent. That's also guilt. But then not me. Don't look at me. I didn't do this. When you have such a situation, and now Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Ah, everyone here is going to be punished. Everyone here is going to be punished. Achala Oysan, the Gans Klal Yisrael, is going to be wiped out for this." So here, in this situation, is where you put an A in the paper. We're having an Asifa. Everyone come together. Go to the Kaisel. We're going to daven. We're going to be mispalel for Klal Yisrael to save Klal Yisrael. Because, really, one person is... the chait is not... It's not penetrated the entire Klal Yisrael. One person or a small group are guilty for their sins. Klal Yisrael shares a very small degree of guilt for what is taking place. In this situation, the Koyach HaTfilah works. It helps and it should be used. But next, this is his observation. In the next section, after Korach died, who came here to complain? Atem Moshe, we don't want you anymore. Atem Hamitem Am Hashem. The whole Klal Yisrael. It was a ringleader. And he gets up and everyone else says, "All right, we'll hedge our bets. We'll see what's going on here. We're not really sure." The whole Klal Yisrael. When the whole Klal Yisrael is guilty, it's a different story.
You learned it just now in Eel.
Yeah.
Says, I didn't see Ra that I didn't get involved in.
Yeah.
So if you're a bystander, you see something Ra, you can work on it. You can get a kapala, whatever.
But if the whole Klal Yisrael is corrupt, then there's nothing to stand on. Exactly. There's no Koyach HaTzvila. Therefore, when it comes to Vayilonu, this is a very powerful idea. Vayilonu, what does the Pasuk say? Vayilonu, who complains? Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Frightening. This sin is worse than the Egel. The Egel was only the Erev Rav, Chazal say. It was a very small group. A small group. Klal Yisrael were indifferent. "Oh, you want to go with the Zara, so we'll watch. We're not going to participate." They were indifferent. It wasn't all Klal Yisrael. It was a very small group of people. The Meraglim were only a small group of people. When it's a small group, then the Koyach HaTzvila works. But Vayilonu Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Ooh. And Hashem says to Moshe, "Hey Romu, Mitoich Leida Hazos V'Achal Osam Kiroga." Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't get up. He doesn't use the trademark Koyach HaTzvila to do anything about it. Because this situation, there's nothing you can do. The only thing you can do is take action. And the only action is to Keteres. However that works, it works.
Spiritual action.
Whatever it works, it works. The Keteres, he used the Keteres, it's magic. Whatever that works. Now I want to shtel to this idea, to go back to explain a very difficult, the Kriyas Yamsuf. By Kriyas Yamsuf, they come to the Yam, and Moshe Rabbeinu gets up and he says, "Ribbono Shleilam, we're stuck here by the Yam. What are we going to do now? The Egyptians are on this side." What was the problem? What was the problem? Hashem told them already to go through the Yam. Let me read you the pasuk. The ants, Vayisu Koladas Bnei Shal Mivar Tzin. Let's say they come to the Yam. Give me 1 second. On the wrong page. Here it is. Right before Kriyas Yamsuf. Right before Kriyas Yamsuf. Vayisu Al Moshe Neteis. Um. Vayir from Mitzrayim achareim, they're chasing after them. Okay, they're chasing with Paro Hikri Vayisu Vayishlas the name Vayinei Mitzrayim Nasi achareim Vayiru Meod. They become afraid. Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael Hashem. They mispalel to Hashem. They mispalel. That's right. Good. The Chazal say Tovsu Munus Avosam. Now comes the scary part. Vayomru. Who's Vayomru? The whole Klal Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael. Vayomru Moshe Hamibli Ein Kvarim B'Mitzrayim Lekachtanu Lamus B'Midbar. Who's complaining here? One person. The Pashtus is the whole Klal Yisrael. Here is bitter. We left Egypt, and now behind us are the Egyptians. They're mispalo. They see their tefillos aren't. They don't feel they're getting instant satisfaction from their tefillos, and now they issue some very bitter complaints. This is serious stuff. They lack faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to die here in the desert. You took us out here to our deaths. Mazos asinu lanu liot zinim Mitzrayim. Haloi zehadav asher dibarnu lechem Mitzrayim limer chadal nerev nadav Mitzrayim ki toiv lanu avodetz Mitzrayim mimu sinim bamidbar. This is scary stuff. And the whole Klal Yisrael is saying this. Moshe says to them, Al tirohu hisyatzlu uru es yeshua sashem asher yaseh lechem hayom ki asher yisim shav hayom lo siv liris maralom asher yisim lechem v'atem tacharishun. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, according to our formula, which Moshe Rabbeinu may misspell at this point in time, it's not going to help. At this point in time, according to the Yisodah of Atia, it's too little too late. The Koyach HaTzvila will no longer work here on behalf of Klal Yisrael, because here the crime has been committed by the entire Klal Yisrael. We don't have here a ringleader that is responsible for this. And therefore, what happens? What's the very next pasuk? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Matitzak Eli. What are you davening to me? Dabriel b'nei Yisrael v'yisohu. Just go walk through the water. Now is not a time for tefillah. Now, I am panim l'Torah. Okay, you look at Rashi, Kedai, who are the Zuchusim, they have Zuchusim, and so on and so forth. There's a Tzorah, now is not a time. But with this Yisoid of Rav Atiyah, it fits very well. The Koyach HaTfila is effective when there is a small group of people who have committed an Avera, and the rest of Klal Yisrael is in danger because of their indifference. Then, a leader can get up and be mispal on behalf of the Klal. But the Chet of Ayilonu, where Moshe Rabbeinu does not bother to be mispal, and he just lets it happen, and the best he can do is to minimize the damage with the Ketores, Moshe Rabbeinu learned the lesson from Kriyas Yamsuf. Because at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, there was a chait. The chait was a challenge to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Haloiv toiv lanu avoides Mitzrayim mimusein b'amidbar. And this was not said by one person. This was by the entire Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu at that time tried. I tried my best to get up and be mispal on behalf of Klal Yisrael for your terrible insubordination. And Hashem says to me, I don't want to hear from you, Moshe Rabbeinu. So why, if Hashem didn't want to hear then, and Hashem, what's the difference? The difference is, the time a leader can be mispal is when the sin is isolated. The sin is isolated to an individual, to a group, and it's true they're putting the tzibur in danger, but the tzibur is not fully responsible. But when the whole tzibur is in danger, then the koyach atfil is not going to work. You got to fall back on other means. Other means are your zuchusim, kedai, hu, the amunah she'aminu bi, zuchusim in action, things like that. It's a very powerful yisus. So we find today a Klal Yisrael, sifas, right? You always look today, every so often, they're making gatherings. Everyone should rally, we should be mispalo, because there's an ace tzara. What is the problem you're coming to address? If the problem you're coming to address is a problem that we all suffer from, it's not a time for tefillah. It's time for action. If there's a problem, there are yechidim. If the formula is there are yechidim who are problems out there, but the hamoinam is not responsible for these problems. The worst we can say is that we're indifferent. We have to be more sensitive. Then in achnami, then Klal Yisrael find himself in esara. Then in achnami, then the koyach hatfila is called for. It's a very interesting approach to understand, to explain a very good question in our parsha. Why here is mispal, here is not mispal, and how it fits very well into Kriyas Yamsuf.
But even if the whole Klal Yisrael is doing it, but the fact that they're davening, isn't that a sign of truth?
They're not davening. They stop davening. They daven, and then they stop. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem. Okay, they daven. They said Shir HaMaalos. And then what is it? Okay, Shir HaMaalos over. Oh, we're in a lot of trouble here. Hamiblian kvadim the Mitzrayim. They started bickering. They finished davening. They started to bicker and they started to say the most worst things possible. We'd be better off and so on and so forth. And Moshe then says, "Okay, I'll daven for you." And Hashem says to Moshe, "Moshe, I don't want to hear from you now. I don't want to hear from you now." This yisod makes it opens up why Hashem says it's not a time. Yeah.
Can I ask a question for Lashon of Baragman?
Yeah.
Back and look, the Lashon is Ravana Moshe Rel Aaron, Kolbana Yisrael.
Kolbana Yisrael, but who instigated it? Who was the one who instigated it? The Baragman.
But okay. It says Ratish, so.
Call the way they began to cry, but they're not the ones who they're not the ones that are responsible. The ones that were responsible,
they have to cause it, and they have to be complaining.
The ones who started the problem. What would have been if the Meraglim would have come back and said the land is very good, we're ready to go? Would they have cried? Would the whole Klal Yisrael have cried?
Nah,
that's the assumption. So there are instigators. So when the whole Klal Yisrael is now in a sakana because they listened, but their degree of chait is not equal to the degree of chait of the instigators. They are yechidim.
Instigated by the whole kahal.
Yes. Vayilonu, the chait of Vayilonu is a very severe chait. It's something to take note of. The chait of Vayilonu in this week's parasha is an extremely severe chait because it was the entire Klal Yisrael together that thought of doing this avera. Whereas the Meraglim, the one that started the avera, were yechidim. They were given a mission.
Where there are leaders of this identified, that's one thing. But in the incident here, in the aftermath, the incident referred to it, there are no leaders referred to it. Just everybody is complaining.
Okay. Let's go to another idea. We have in this week's parashah. This is very short. That we have here Korach. Korach. Chazal tell us what led Korach astray. Why did Korach think he can pull this off? Because he saw his lineage. He saw that Shmuel Hanavi, Shmuel Hermasti would come from him. And the truth is, Shmuel Hermasti was the one that was misaken the chait of Korach. That's really what comes out in the big picture of things. What was the chait of Korach? Kol ha'am kulam kidoishim uvesoichem Hashem umadua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. We have in halach concept there's oilam nefesh and shana. Even though Korach literally simply only attacked the leader of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, kolam kulam kidoishim, that same approach to life also applies to zman and applies to makom. What's the holiest day of the year? Yom Kippur. Why? Why is Yom Kippur holy? Every moment is holy. If you take the approach of Korach to its logical conclusion, the same way everyone is holy, every moment is holy. Likewise, location. Why is Yerushalayim holy? Yerushalayim is no different than everywhere else. Every single part of Eretz Yisrael, for that matter, every part of the world is equally holy. Who is the one that sanctified the holiest person, a leader in Klal Yisrael? Shmuel. Shmuel was Moshech Shaul, and Shmuel was Moshech David. What is Shaul and David? They are the Melech. What is the Melech? The Melech is one who is lifted above all the people. Who is the one that assisted David in finding the location of the Beis HaMikdash, the holiest place in the world? Shmuel. Shmuel is the one that found the Gemara's Drasha. They were in Ramah, and they were Isaac in Ramah, Binoi Shalolam, the beauty of the world, to figure out where will be the place where the Beis Hamikdash will be built. And the fact that's very interesting is you look into Tehillim, especially Mizmah, the Mizmah that we say, all the Mizmarim that begin with Livnei Korach. Many of the Mizmarim that mention the descendants of Korach, they all focus on Yerushalayim. They focus on Mokoim, because this indeed was the children of Korach, the way they came to be misaking the chait of Korach, by recognizing that not everything is the same. There are certain people that are different, and there are certain Mokomos that are different, and there are certain Zmanim that are different, are the Bnei Korach Asaf. They are the ones that focus on Yerushalayim, on the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash. This is all part of the Tikkun of Korach.
Yeah. A lady told me this, I checked it out. In Divrei Yom, when you look at the Korach, there were thousands of Levim who came out from Korach.
Yeah.
Sure. I think there were more Levim out of that
that group than anyone else. Interesting, very interesting. Okay, let's go to another. We have the mat after in the aftermath of the Cheder Egel. We have the aftermath with the mat. The mat produces flowers. It produces buds, perach, tzitz, and shkedim. So I once heard a Jewish, why Dafka did it produce these three things? Korach and his followers were jealous of Aaron. What is unique about Aaron? What is special about Aaron? Number one, Aaron was the one who lit the menorah. Aaron was given, after the time of the Parash Pahaloscha, Aaron was given the mitzvah, all the Nesiim brought korbanos. Aaron Chalisha Sadas, Hashem said to Aaron, Aaron, do not worry, your portion is greater than theirs. What's your portion? You will light Hadlokas Haneros. What else is unique to Aaron the Kohen Gadol? He wears on his forehead the tzitz. The tzitz says, Kodesh la Hashem. What else does Aaron have that's over all the Kohanim? He wears on the Choshen. The Choshen, on the Choshen, is the Shem Hashem. In the Choshen lies the Ephod, the Shem Hashem. Aaron put the matas were put into the oil moed, and from the matah came forth perach, tzitz, and shkedim. What is a perach? What is the targum? How does the targum translate perach? Lavlevin. Lavlevin. That's the translation for a flower. What is lavlevin? The shorish of lavlevin? Lev. For hoya alev aharon. Indicated Aaron is deserving. The lavlevin. Perach is an indication that you deserve that on your heart, on you give a girl flowers. You try to win her heart. Lavlevin. The lev is an indication that Aaron's heart is deserving to carry the Shem Hashem. What came forth? Vayotzei tzitz. What is tzitz? Tzitz, obvious, the tzitz where it says, Kodesh LaHashem. And Vayigmol Shkedim, it blasts them with almonds. The menorah is called Mishru Kodim. The menorah was designed. So you see that in the Mata Aaron, the three things that came forth indicate that it was Aaron that was Roy should have the Choshen and the Tzitz and the menorah. Okay, last vart. This vart is one of my favorite verloch, Parashas Korach. In the Haggadah there are Arba Banim. There are four children. Who are the Arba Banim who come to the Haggadah? Korach. I gave it away. The Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, and the She'ena Yodea Lishol. If you look carefully in the beginning of the parasha, you'll take note that there were four groups who participated in the rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. The ringleader was Korach. Vayikach Korach. Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kohos, Ben Levi, period. Who else participated? Vidosan Va'aviram. Okay, these are the troublemakers from time immemorial. This is Vayomer Rasha El Rei, Vayomer Rasha Lomasake, Vayomer La Rasha Lomasake Reyecha. Moshe said in Mitzrayim, Russia, why are you hitting your friend? Who was they hitting? Dosam was hitting Aviram. They were at each other and they called Rishayim. Who's the third person that participated? Bnei Vion ben Pelas. He was a nice guy. He was a nice guy that got caught up in this thing. And then, they were from Bnei Ruvain, Vion ben Pelas, and then it says, Vayakubu fnei Moshe, v'anashim ibn Yishol, chamishim umosayim nisiei eda, another 250 people. We have a grand total of four groups. 250 bystanders. There was Oin ben Pelas, and there was Dosam Va'aviram and Korach. So I want to suggest that these four groups correspond to the Arboha Banim. How do we know this? Chazal, when describing Korach, the opening words of the Medrash is that Korach was a Chochom Gadol Hayah. He was a very wise man. Maro l'shtus zeh. What did he see to do something so foolish, to rebel against Moshe? Indeed, if you study the Haggadah, the tzaddik does not come to the Ahad, does not come to the Seder. Doesn't say the tzaddik. You have the arbob on him. What about the tzaddik? It's the chacham. All the picture books, they make the chacham look like a tzaddik. Some of the commentators say it's not so. The chacham is a person with attitude. He's not a wicked person, but he has an attitude. He has problems. He's a wise guy. He's a wise guy, and he has to be dealt with. There even is some indication of rebellion. He says Eschem. He says Hashem Elokeinu. He's my God. but he's your God. Where do you hold? He's a complicated person, the Chacham. The Chacham is not a simple man. You want to learn on a very simple level, the Chacham is a tzaddik. Okay, fine, you could make a nice Haggadah and make a nice guy with long payas and a bekasha. Fine. But that's not Mukhruch, that's who the Chacham is, and indeed many commentators learn that he is a evil genius. Yeah.
Moha Eidos. He had an
Eidah.
Oh, Korach had an Eidah.
Had an Eidah, okay. Assembly, okay. Okay, then we have, the Korach is the Chacham. Chacham, the Chazal explicitly tell us he was a Chacham Gadol Moral Shtus Hazeh. He has to be dealt with. He has to be dealt with. Then we have the second group, Dosan Vaviram. That's the next Rosha. Vayomer, Vayomer lo Rosha, lo masaker eicha. Clear. Own Ben Peles. Who saved Own Ben? First, let me ask you a question. All the commentators ask: this she'edi the alishal at psachlo? At? That's not grammatically correct. Ato psachlo. You should open up to the she'ani de elishal and instruct him. So what do the commentators do? There are many interpretations. It's an expression of speech. By the way, they say you have to talk to the she'ani like a woman. Yeah, a motherly love. At, speak to him gently the same way a female talks to a child. At, who is the one that speared, who trained On Ben Peles? He was a wishy-washy guy. He said, I gotta go, I'm part of the club, I gotta go, wishy-washy guy. So she said to him, what do you have to gain? If Moshe wins, you are nothing. If Korach wins, you are nothing. What do you have to go? So she convinced him, don't go, just sit it out, I'll take care of you. At Psachlo. He was begedded.
She said at the Pesach.
What? Psach. She said at the opening of the door. Very good. She said at the opening. And then we have the 250 people. They were tmimim. These were innocent people who just got swept up. These are the tmimim. They just got caught up with the entire thing. This is the fourth group. So we have here, interesting, we have here Be'ikvus of the Mashiach. We want to tie together everything here. We put this all together. The avoda of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to bring the geula. V'igartem levincha b'yoyim ha'hu lemar b'avur zeh asa. The goal of Ikvus Mashiach is to Yitzias Mitzrayim of the Seder Haggadah. You talk to this generation, the generation that will bring Mashiach. Parshas Korach. In Parshas Korach lies the nisayon that we've suffered of sinas chinam throughout all generations, and especially so much more so for our generation, where leadership and mesorah is challenged. That's really the nisayon that we have of our generation. Vayakumu lifnei Moshe. Why do we have to follow these rules? We can make up new rules. We can do things differently. And these four, they are broken up into four groups. And the Torah in the Haggadah is merumas these four groups. And the Torah gives us a technique how to deal with the four groups, not to wipe them out. Like Moshe said, Moshe is very powerful. Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ish. Just because we have one person that's a troublemaker, that everyone has to suffer. We have to deal. We have to be mispalel. Moshe indeed was mispalel. Before they were destroyed, Moshe was mispalel. And the Haggadah does give us some guidance with our Rabbanim and Merumas, and hopefully we can somehow figure out the solution to bring Mashiach b'mhirah v'yameinu. Amen.